to it there before you put it up. This morning, I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to preach this morning, really. We'll just see how it works out. But this is something that's so important, I think, and so crucial to the life of this church that I think we have to, it needs to be talked about here in the sanctuary when more people are present. We talked about it at administrative council meeting, some, but there were 10 people there, maybe. You know, so more people need to know about it, and it needs to be something that everybody's aware of. Some already are, but I'm going to get there. I'm building up the suspense for you there. I'm going to get there, but I want to, first of all, just tell you a little bit of the history of our building project. That's basically what I'm talking about here today. Not so much the dimensions and the kind of things that the facility itself, but God's call and God's leading in this thing. Chip, you correct me more on this than I'm not familiar with the complete history. Many of you are, some of you aren't. This building fund thing started in 1994 with a gift by the Howard family, Mr. Bill Howard, William Howard, a $200,000 gift, and was subsequently added to with another $100,000 gift. And there have been some other individual gifts over a period of time, but basically that $300,000 has been invested and put in the bank, CDs and such, since 1994 and after, until at this point now, in the bank, approximately $550,000 in the bank for the sole purpose it was given and designated for the building of a family life center out here, which is where it's been designated to be, that is a third phase of the original building plans that were drawn up in the early 60s, which were initiated with the building of this sanctuary. The second phase was the educational wing. The third phase, yes, was designated in 1964, 65 on the original plans that would be a third phase. So this is not a thing that we're coming up with that's been come up with since in 1994. It's not new today. It was originally designed and dreamed in the early 60s by many people who aren't here anymore, any longer with us, who have gone on, who have died and passed away. So that's kind of that history. Now, my understanding is that since 1994, when this money was designated for that, there have been two previous occasions on which it was seriously considered and almost to the point of breaking ground. Is that correct, Chip? Twice before. This is the third time. Third time's the charm, they say. I don't know. But all of this has happened for a reason, and I believe God is involved in this. I believe God's hand, God's timing is perfect, and I believe He has a purpose for this right now. Folks, I fully believe, barring God speaking audibly in our ears, I think this is going to happen. I believe that this building, a year from now, you will look out over there, and there will not be green trees that you will be seeing solely over there. There will be a facility over there, a family life facility. It was a dream from over 40 years ago, and folks, it's going to happen. I fully believe it. Now, I want to tell you, after saying that, I want to tell you a story. Oh boy, here comes a preacher story. Well, it's my story on how Renee and I ended up in Asheville with Matthew and Kelly and Carrie, how we ended up in Asheville and how I ended up here as a pastor. I'm not going to go through all the minute details on leading up to that point, but to say in 1994, kind of a coincidence that it's the same year that this happened, that this money was given. 1994, I was in line. I had been certified to be a local pastor in the Methodist Church. My district superintendent is telling me and assuring me that in the following conference year, which is at Lake Junaluska in June of every year, that following year that I will have an appointment. He says, don't worry, it's going to wait. It's going to be the last minute before the appointment comes. And this has been previous 2 years I've been working up to this point, going through the candidacy process and all. Kicking on every door that was there, and some closing and some opening. He assures me it's going to happen. Well, about that same time also, Renee and I start dating. And don't know how things are going to work out there exactly, and how we're going to work out as me going into the ministry, because her first thing, the first date that we had, I told her, what have you been doing today? It was a Saturday. I said, well, actually, I've been to the District Board of Ordained Ministry, and they've approved me for appointment this year. And she said that her first thought, well, this is the last time we'll go out. Well, things don't always work out as you plan, as it turned out. But after spending just a few hours with me, how could she refuse, you know? Yeah, it is about me. No. So, after the first of the year, this is now 1995, I'm working at a job for the Department of Corrections. Been working there about 4 years now. I am very dissatisfied with the job. I am ready to leave that job and find something else. About March of that year of 95, I'm approached by a friend who is building a brand new sawmill and asked me to come to work for him to be the lumber inspector, lumber grader, and to sell lumber for him. That's what I'd done for 10 years previously, been worked in that field before I went to work for the Department of Correction. I told him, no, I appreciate it, but I'm fixing to go into the ministry, it looks like. I feel God's calling that, and that's going to happen. And I said, you know, I'd only be able to work for you for a few months. He said, okay, well, I understand. He said, if something changes, let me know. Well, to make a long story short, conference comes in June, and conference goes, and Fred does not have an appointment. He's still working at the Department of Corrections. Renee and I are dating, and she's very serious about me. And so am I about her. And I'm very disappointed. It didn't work out. I say, okay. I get to the point. I say, okay, God, maybe this is one of those doors that I have said. And all through this process, I say, God, if you don't want me to do this, don't let it happen, because I'm going to try to do everything in my power to follow this, what I feel like you're calling me. And if you're not calling me, close the door. And I say, okay, God has closed the door on me. And I say, okay. The DS says, now, just don't worry. Says it'll happen next year. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But I'm not working at a job that I'm very unhappy with and completely dissatisfied with another year. I call the man that had asked me earlier about the job. He says, well, actually, I have somebody now. He says, but you know, I might have something that I could use you doing. He said, come talk to me. It's actually his son that I'm talking to, who's about my age. So I go talk to him. He shows me what he'd want me to do, and I said, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. That'd be enjoyable. I'd like that. And he says, well, how much am I going to have to pay you? And I told him, I said, now I'm going to tell you, this is it. This is not a negotiation. I'm not trying to hold you up. If you can't pay me this, I understand, but this is what I've got to have to live. I can't live for any less, because it's what I'm making now. If I'm making any less now, those of you who work for the state, you know what I'm talking about. I can't take any less. He says, I just don't know if we can do it. I just don't know if we can pay that much. I said, no problem. I understand. I appreciate you talking to me. Enjoyed looking at your meal. It's beautiful. I love it. Thank you. He said, well, let me just talk to my daddy and see what he says. Well, I hadn't hardly got home. The phone was ringing, and it was Tommy. And he says, Daddy said to hire you and pay you what you wanted. I said, good deal. God's opened up a door for me there. I'm thinking, okay, maybe God is intended, you know, He knows where this is going. Renee and I are getting serious, and that we're going to get married, and that we're going to be blending a family, and maybe this is just a way to get this done, and then He'll move in a different direction sometime later. Maybe He doesn't want me in the ministry. Maybe He just wants me as a layperson in the church, just being a Christian person involved in the church. So I said, okay. I'm okay with that. That's what God wants. Well, I take this job. I work 1 week. 1 week. during the second week of my work there, I get home, and my mom, who was living, was living with me, she said, "You had a call today from somebody in Asheville, a district superintendent in Asheville." And I said, "What?" She said, "Yes," said he would call. I told him that you wouldn't be home till such and such time, and he said he would call tonight. Well, he called. It was Fred Macon, the district superintendent here in Asheville District in 1995. He said, "Would you be interested in a 2-point charge in just outside of Asheville?" He said, "Can you come up and be here in the morning to talk to me?" And I said, "No, sir, I'm 3.5 hours away, and I have people that are expecting me to be at work in the morning. I can't hardly do it." He said, "Well, what about the weekend? Can you come?" I said, "Yeah, I can do that." So I drove up on Saturday morning, met him, met some of the folks at the church, and he offered me the position. I said, "Well, I won't pray about it." He says, "I expect you to, but I don't. You can't pray long about it. I need somebody at this church." It was the week of July. Because it was July 4th week. Because Renee and Kelly were at the beach with her mom, and Matthew and Carrie and I were supposed to go down and spend a few days down there at the beach while they were down there. Well, he said, "I got to have an answer." This is Saturday. He said, "I got to have an answer by Wednesday." He said, "These people, something had happened. The pastor that had been appointed to the Grace and Dix Creek charge was unable to fulfill their appointment, and they had nobody." He said, "I got to have somebody now." So I knew what the answer was going to be, but I did try to pray about it anyway. But one of the questions that I asked myself over and over those next couple of days before I actually called Fred Macon back and said, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do, is why, God? Why now? Why didn't you let this happen a month ago so I didn't have to go through and change jobs? And now I got to go tell this man that has given me a job and has put his trust in me to be there, why have I got to go tell him that after 2 weeks I'm turning in my notice? And I'm doing something that I enjoy, working with people I enjoy in life, people that were friends, actually. I wrestle with that, and I wrestle with that. And you know what I say God spoke to me? I didn't hear His voice. I've never heard God in an audible voice speaking to me. But I have felt Him speaking to my heart on many occasions, and felt Him speak to me through the Scriptures or through a friend's talk or a conversation. I've heard Him speak many, many times that way. And He spoke to me as I'm wrestling with this question, and it was clear, very clear, that He said, "You have to make a choice. You have to sacrifice something for this to happen." See, before this, I had this new job, I would have taken an appointment wherever they would have offered me something, wherever they would have sent me, because I would have taken it to get away from the job that I was currently at. So I had to have to make the decision and the choice. God gives us free will, folks. I'm sorry. And He was giving me the free will there to accept that call or to say no to it. Well, I said yes, and the next week, 2 weeks later, last week of July, I moved to Asheville with Matthew and Carrie. 2 weeks later, Renee and I got married, and Kelly moved in, and they moved in with me, with us. We all moved in together, happily ever after, so to speak. Now, I tell this story, and what does this have to do with anything that's going on here? Keep it in mind, I had to make a choice. I had to say yes to that. I had to be intentional about it. There is a parallel here, believe me or not. Now I've got some news that I want to tell you. Keep that story in mind. I've got some news that I want to tell you that's really, for those of you that haven't heard it yet, it's going to amaze you. Back in almost 2 years ago now, Fred Christensen, member of this church, passed away. He was Mr. Lloyd Penley's brother-in-law. Fred left Francis Francis Asbury was a beneficiary in Fred Christensen's will. Back earlier in the spring, in the winter, it was this year, wasn't it? It was like March or February, somewhere in there. We received a portion of that, a part of that estate was settled, and we received $31,000 and some odd dollars. The remainder of his estate was settled about 3 weeks ago, and we received in our bank account $299,000. A total from Fred Christensen's estate of just under $331,000. Okay. Now, here's where it gets interesting now. Okay, folks, we could say, heck, take those pledges, let's tear those pledges up. We don't have to worry about pledging anything else. We don't have to worry about raising any money up. We got it right there now. But is that what we need to be doing with that money? Is that what we need to do? Do we need to take that money? And so this money was given by Fred, unrestricted, free and clear. There is no strings tied to it. It is not designated for any specific purpose. It is to the church, to the general church. Do we use this money now and not worry about pledges so that we can build this building and be said and done with it? I don't think so. I don't believe that's being a good steward with what Fred Christensen so generously left this church. Betty, what was it that you said at the administrative council meeting that Fred said one time? He said, you just tell us.
Well, it was many years ago, before 94 or 95, that this man apparently loved the Lord and loved his church, and we will be accepted
there. Yeah. So, I mean, God has been working here, and the thing about this is so amazing is the timing. Here, now, remember back to the story. I asked God, why now, God? Why didn't you make it happen a little bit earlier than this? And things would have been so much simpler. Well, you know, my first thought was when we got this notification that this money had been placed in the bank, was, Lord, I wish you'd have waited about 6 months for that to happen so we could get in this pledge and be done. But you know what? God's timing is perfect. And we have to answer this question, each and every one of us. Is this money just given so that we can be scot-free and clear of any kind of responsibility as a congregation for building that building? The original amount, the $550,000, was given to us basically, except for some contributions that I couldn't tell you how much are. The rest of it was interest off of that money. Folks, we as a church and as a congregation need to have ownership of that building that will be built over there. We need to have a part in that. How many of you have ever appreciated anything as much when it's given to you free and clear? How much more do you appreciate it when you have to work for it and have to earn it? Lynn, we talked about that, you know, when we were talking about this. Lynn said, what did you say? You learned that over there with Lloyd, growing tomatoes and vegetables and stuff. Anything that you earn, that you work for, that you sacrifice for, is going to be so much more valuable. Now, this is not to say that it would be wrong to do that or a sin to do that. This is something we've got to wrestle with and we've got to decide about. But I think Travis, I was talking to him and told him about it and tell him I'm putting him on the spot because he wasn't here today to say this because I wanted him to say, he said, I don't want, when I told him about this, he says, I want to be part of that building. I don't want to lose that opportunity. He says, this isn't going to change Beth and I's pledge at all because we want to be part of what's happening there. We want to own that building. We want to be ownership. Folks, if it's just given to us free and clear, we're just not going to have that same desire to make use of that building and to be ministry out of, and to have ministry out of that building. What I think this money, just specifically, I don't know what we can. There are going to be lots of good ideas, I know, for this. But what I think we have to do is that we have to say each in our hearts that we're going to commit even that much more to put our own selves, invest our own resources, those things that are valuable to us, sacrifice, because when that happens, that building then becomes part of who we are. We are invested in it, and we're going to see that things happen in there for God's kingdom because we're tied into it. I believe that. And I think this money, this $300,000+, we have talked about, you know, there's never really been any doubt as we've, in the last year, as we've talked about this building, that we could get the building done. Bob, our finance chair, he's been the devil's advocate on many occasions on how we're going to get this paid for and all. And the debate has never centered around, can we build this building, but how are we going to do ministry out of it if we exhaust all our resources in building it? Well, folks, God has answered that with $330,000. And there are people's lives that can be touched, there are lives that can be changed, and there are people that can come to know the love and the grace and the blessings of Jesus Christ because of that gift that has been given to us. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know what we'll end up doing with this. I've already heard some suggestions, good ones, about some things that we can do. I've got ideas. But folks, we need to sit down as a group, as the leadership in this church, as interested parties, and we need to decide and map out and discover what it is that God is calling us to do. On Wednesday night, last couple of Wednesday nights, I've played a portion of a CD from Adam Hamilton, who is the pastor of a 14,000-member United Methodist Church in Kansas City. And when he went there in 1990-91, it was a church of four people, him, his wife, and their two children. And now 14,000. They have 9 to 10,000 people every weekend at their worship services. An enormous complex now. We've talked some about the things that he says and about how he talks about planning, strategic planning. We need to be intentional about this, folks. We need to seek God out and to seek what it is that He's calling us to do. Not make it about me and the preacher and what he wants to do. Not make it about the lay leader and what he wants to do or the finance chair and what he wants to do. But see what it is that God wants us to do. Folks, this is just amazing to me. God's timing. I mean, how could you imagine this? Why didn't it work 5 or 6 years ago, the last time that this was seriously considered? Or the 4 or 5 years before that when it was considered earlier? God's hand is in this, folks, and His timing and what He does is perfect. Folks, I think it's time. And I hope and I pray that you, if you haven't already considered your pledge, that if you're still praying about that and considering that, if you've already made one and your first thought is, well, I don't need to do that now. Well, certainly, if you decide not to do it, we're not going to send out the pledge police and make you do it. But I hope you will consider what God is calling you to do and us to do as a church. Put that scripture up, John. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Folks, we can take this gift and we can store up a lot of treasures in heaven. Treasures of reaching out in love and compassion with God's grace to the people in this community and the people not just here locally, but people that we'll never ever see. God is wanting to do something special with this place here. He just does not give $600,000 to a group of people for no reason whatsoever. And He doesn't give it just so buildings can be constructed. He gives it so that the grace of God and God's forgiveness and the good news of His Son Jesus can be shared. It can happen. We can do it because God is in this thing. Now, I want to read one other scripture to you. John's not got it. I didn't put it on there. But we think sometimes, and we think of limitations, and we think of what only, I just can't do that much. I can't, what I give isn't significant. It won't help any. Well, let me tell you or read to you a little short story about a situation that occurred 4,000 or so years ago when a ragtag bunch of people were led out of slavery into a wilderness following kind of a crazy fellow that, you know, saw burning bushes and could part Red Seas and things like that. When God told them to build a place for Him to reside so that they could worship, this is what happened. Then Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every gifted artisan in the whole in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work for which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. It was too much. God is pouring out His blessings upon us. Those people didn't have a whole lot, most of them. They were slaves. Yet they were able to bring more than enough, more than was necessary. We must seek God's mission, God's vision. And folks, it will be blessed. It will be fruitful. Decide in your heart. Choose for yourself how you want to support this. Keep it in prayer. And let's turn it over to God. And trust Him. Let's make a conscious decision. Just as I made one in 1995, I had a choice. You have a choice now. To contribute to this building, to pledge for the next 3 years for its completion, you have a choice. You can say, "I don't need to do that now," but God wants your free will gift. Not that He wants money, but He wants your obedience, and that's what it comes down to. Will we be obedient? This morning, as we close, I don't know of a better, more perfect way to end this Sunday than with communion. The time in which God gave to us this symbol of His grace and of His love and how it endures through all the generations. This morning I invite you to come to the Lord's table. On that night in which Jesus gave Himself up, after the meal was over, friends, brothers, sitting around the table, enjoying each other's company. Surely there was a kind of an uneasy mood with the things that were about to happen, and the disciples surely were able to pick up on that from Jesus. But Jesus did something that night that we still do today, and I invite you to this morning. After that meal was over, He took the bread that was there and He broke it, gave thanks to God, and He told His disciples, He said, "This is My body which is broken for you. Every time you come together, whenever you meet, do this in remembrance of Me." After the bread was passed around, shared, He took the cup and He said, "This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you come together in My name." So today, I invite you, as you consider what God is doing in our midst, His timing, His mercy, and His grace, I invite you to come to the Lord's table and feel and partake in that wonderful, amazing grace of God.